All right, welcome members. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam, and it's Tuesday the 10th of March 2020. I am here in Sydney, Australia. Great to be on board with you. Thank you so much to all the members out there for your continuing support. Shouting me that cup of coffee a month helps me to continue here and move forward. Things are getting insane. If anyone were to ask me, where are we? What are we doing here? Who are we? I would tell them we're in a bloody television set. In an old episode of The Twilight Zone. It's just absolutely insane. I just can't believe what I'm seeing around me going on, taking place. So we'll just keep covering it and keep going over it and doing our best. What else can we do? It's just crazy. Anyway, we're ready to rumble.
Vision of the shoppers arguing with another woman went viral as supermarkets impose new purchase limits to curb coronavirus hysteria.
The fight over toilet paper that went viral around the world.
I just want one pack.
No, not one pack.
Now the 60-year-old mother and her 23-year-old daughter, who were wheeling a trolley full of rolls at Woolworths Chullora, have been charged with a fray and are due in court next month.
I cannot understand the logic. We have a big factory in Penrith that produces toilet paper.
Investigators spoke to the other woman, a 49-year-old, who'd allegedly been assaulted, but she wasn't injured. The incident, one of several at Australian supermarkets, as desperation for toilet paper reaches irrational levels.
Everybody, please stay calm and be rational. We have everything we need.
For the second time in a week, Woolworths and Coles have been forced to crack down on the number of toilet paper packs allowed to be purchased. At Woolies, customers are now limited to just two. But here at Coles, it's down to just one per person. We have asked our suppliers to focus on increasing production of larger pack sizes. A pack of 30 rolls should last an average family for around 3 weeks.
We can all
the transfer of a patient with coronavirus is fraught with risk. This 62-year-old woman is being moved to a different hospital in a biocontainment unit. The Italian military is called in to help. In the Lombardy region, the healthcare system is on the brink of collapse. Intensive care units are being set up in the hallways of major hospitals. Doctors say if people don't stay at home, the situation there will become catastrophic.
It's really very difficult. We're exhausted. We've got so many patients. We're having to move some of them to another hospital just so we can cope.
This is what happens when 25% of a country's population is in lockdown. Entire villages are quarantined. Roadblocks are being set up and people are confused about where they can travel. Thousands are fleeing. Planes are still flying, but in Rome, at one of Europe's busiest airports, it's eerily quiet.
Buongiorno.
Even the Pope said he was caged in a library as his prayer was live-streamed on video for the first time in history. The financial hub of Milan is empty.
Italy is in lockdown. 60 million people are now in lockdown as the entire country has declared a red zone. The unprecedented measures will see public gatherings banned, sporting events cancelled, and people urged to stay in their homes. It comes as the death toll rises to 463, making it the worst hit country after China.
We need to talk about Italy to start. I mean, Italy, it's just closed its borders, locking down 60 million people. This is huge and disturbing news.
Well, this is obviously a very significant development, and it just reflects the uncertainty and the seriousness of the spread of the coronavirus. And Australia moved ahead of many other countries in putting in place travel restrictions. That helped ensure that the spread of the virus here in Australia was not as great as
what
we've seen in other countries like Italy,
that's just a
South
little
Korea.
Fraction of what we're hearing today. Special announcements from the Pope in lockdown as well in Italy, and toilet paper fights happening all over Australia, people attacking each other, and absolute hysteria and panic taking place, and absolutely unbelievable to see, because we know that we're dealing with a staged outbreak here. I believe that this is absolutely 100% fake, and it's unbelievable the control that we're seeing here as this all moves forward. It's really unbelievable. I just can't believe my eyes, what I'm seeing. I don't know what the listeners are seeing and what they're thinking. I think that, you know, even part of you would think, well, man, looking at what's happening in Italy and all of this and this whole thing going on, I would have to think that maybe something has been released in, you know, and made airborne. You know, some type of pathogen has been made airborne, and they have put something into the public, and it's spreading around the world, and we're all going to get it. But I think that's utter bullshit, and I think that the longer that this goes on, the more paranoid people become. And this is a real display, isn't it, of you know, how an entire planet of human beings can be basically put down into lockdown and made to be so paranoid. And you know, I just can't believe it, what's happening. It's just really bizarre. It's really hard to get a handle on all of this, but looking at the news, well, looking back at that clip earlier was amazing, wasn't it? Because I'm actually seeing that around where I live. There's people, huge lines, there's security guards now in these small supermarkets in the toilet paper aisles, you know. There's lines of people all the way through the car parks waiting in the dark for the supermarkets to open so they can get toilet paper. Isn't this a bizarre situation that we're seeing? What's with the toilet paper? I was able to do some shopping the other day and get some, so I don't understand. These people are fighting each other over it. There's a mass hysteria happening in Australia. We've seen all the media are really blowing it up too. This is the bread and butter for the media in this country. They love playing into this and beefing it up. And you're getting, I saw one yesterday with some woman coughing on a train or a bus or something, and the guy going berserk at her. So the utter hysteria, as I said, and paranoia is really unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this in my life, especially when we're looking at a completely fake and staged outbreak. If I had any faith in humanity that we were awake and that we could see beyond something like this, I don't anymore. This really proves to me that most of human beings, most of the human race, are utterly stupid and dumbed down and pathetic. And these toilet paper fights prove it. And it's a real worry, because I think, geez, if these people are acting like this crazy over toilet paper for a staged outbreak, imagine when something really seriously happens, you know? A massive natural disaster, worse than what we had with the fires. If we have no electricity for months at a time, whatever situation that may occur, you know, if we get this kind of end of time scenario and people have to really survive with what they got, Imagine how savage people are going to go. I mean, because now, you know, as I said, you walk around, most people don't seem to care too much. There's this kind of weird, spooked kind of calm panic anyway at the moment. I went shopping the other day and there's not much on the shelves. A lot of it's just gone and they've got enough food to keep coming. I've been storing stuff and I have enough stuff on me for probably a good month or so. I'd probably have to go and get some more, but with this kind of staged virus outbreak, I don't think we're going to lose the lights or anything, so I'm not too concerned about that. But these people are panicking and they're fighting, and don't these people have any shame or dignity or self-respect? I mean, you know, to turn up and line up out front of supermarkets in the dark and then go into the supermarkets and fight other people over a roll of toilet paper and then be filmed on the news, they have no shame. They're panicking and they're lashing out and they're desperate. And this is what I always say, I call it the drowning man. The guy's drowning out in the ocean, he's screaming for help, and someone swims out to save him, and he drowns them. Someone else swims out to save him, and he drowns them. He drowns people, because it's in his own desperate attempt for survival, he's prepared to walk over the top of other people, and actually kill them, to preserve his own life. And this is what these people are doing. I was watching them the other day and I've seen these clips. They're acting out in such an incredibly desperate display that they're not thinking, they're not thinking clearly. And they're just thinking about themselves and this toilet paper that they need to get. And my point in all of this is, try to imagine when the shit really hits the fan. Are you going to have any faith in these people that live around you? I know that you will in yourself and your loved ones and those that you trust. But in the general population, man, they soon and quickly become the enemy. And I think we can see this right now. You don't want these irrational, desperate lowlifes around you scraping for every little thing that they can get for themselves and acting out in this desperate, outlandish, ridiculous behavior. In situations like this, we need to be calm and calculated, and we need to work out what's going on in order to better our chances of survival. But you don't want to be anywhere near these people, folks. And as I said, they got no shame or dignity or self-respect, and they're willing to be recorded on national television news and have that beamed around the world, fighting over a couple of rolls of toilet paper. Unbelievable seeing on the internet and eBay and Gumtree in Australia, $3.50, $4 packs of toilet paper being sold for $500 and $1,000 and all of this. Really bizarre what's going on. As I said, I've never seen anything in like this in my life. It's just crazy. And, just sitting here watching all of this, and I'm getting reports like this from the mainstream media today, because I'm around the coastal areas of Sydney, and this is an article here about doctors calling for Sydney to be locked down as the national coronavirus cases exceed 100. But as I was saying on the show, the last show, that you have thousands, hundreds and even thousands of suspected deaths each year related to the flu. Last year there was hundreds of people who died with these flu cases, in Australia alone, hundreds. And it goes into thousands in some other years. In the United States, it goes into thousands. So we have all this and nothing happens. But now, because 100 people supposedly have this virus in Australia, they want to lock down an entire city. So something much, much deeper is going on here. Anyway, it says here that this dickhead Sydney doctor says that the entire city should go into self-isolation to stop the spread of this fake coronavirus and give the health system time to deal with the deadly disease. So that came up today about locking down Sydney. So and they're talking here about more than 100 cases now confirmed. But this is all smoke and mirrors. In New South Wales, there are 55 cases as of 7 a.m. on Tuesday, with one of those being a resident of Victoria. There's all these people around the place. They're saying an infected. They're saying that, you know, someone who's very elderly in some home died because of this. So this is what I've been saying. This is where they're merging just any kind of deaths that happen or illnesses that might happen around the place with this, and so nobody knows what's going on. So we could be looking at, depending on how far they're going to take this, we could be looking at lockdown type situations happening here and where I am. I don't know how far they're going to take it, and if they enact quarantine laws, then that's a serious situation indeed. So we're getting all these lockdowns happening in schools and stuff like that, which is very interesting. And another thing that not a lot of people are talking about that I noticed over the last few days is that the media and the government health departments in Australia are starting to sort of slip in that we're going to get an earlier flu season this year. And don't forget, folks, we're in the southern hemisphere here. So, I mean, it's only March the 10th. I mean, I was swimming in the ocean the last few summers till about May, I think. So it's only March here. I don't get cold. It takes a lot to make me cold in winter. A lot. It really does. I don't get cold. But they're slowly, I've been noticing, because we have been getting a bit of rain around the place, and the temperatures have kind of dropped a little bit. You got a minimum of 17 or 16 and stuff like that, and then it's about 23 or whatever in the day. I'm still sweating. But the media have been slipping in this whole thing that we're undergoing the early kind of influence of this flu season in Australia, and this is going to make the coronavirus worse. So this is the smoke and mirrors, isn't it? This is where they kind of merge this flu season that we go through every year with the coronavirus. And when that happens, we're not going to know which is up and which is down and which is any way around, because that's how they do this, and they're going to mix in all these cases. So I actually know people and have met people recently who are unwell or not feeling too well. It's just seemed to have basically a rundown immune system, and they're going and getting tested for this, but they can't test for it, so they don't know. They send them off to the hospitals because they don't know anything. I'm watching all these ridiculous nonsense reports on the media and reading it in the online newspapers, and one minute, as I said, they're telling you that really it's not going to affect children that bad now. It's really just those who may have a weak immune system, or those who are elderly, for example, in nursing homes. And they're saying that really it's no worse than a normal flu. What's worrying them is how fast it's spreading. It's kind of spreading like measles. So another fake one. And so really it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I've been really watching some of these reports on the news and everything like that, and they got these people up who don't even know what they're talking about, and they're just really making up stuff. So it's really bizarre. But this was one that I've just been seeing recently. It's talking about researchers are warning, that we're going to get get hit with a big flu season this year in 2020. Of course, somewhere like the United States would be going into their summer. We're Southern Hemisphere, so similar to South America and other places. And they're saying that we're going to get a lot of deaths and everything like that. You see, they're predicting the future. And they're telling us they've got all these doctor experts up there, and they're saying that we're going to get this kind of longer flu seasons, but this one, this year, is going to hit earlier. And it's kind of the perfect storm, isn't it? It's what they need. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they're manufacturing the climate, manufacturing the weather around us to kind of turn the dial down to make it cooler and usher in that normal, traditional flu season, and then put a whole lot of drama on top of it and make it worse than what it should normally be, and then kind of mix that in with the fake stage coronavirus outbreak and then make everybody panic. So we're really getting a lot of, as I said, smoke and mirrors here, and that's what they do so well, and the media are doing absolutely so well. Telling us that all these people are sick and getting ill, and some people are dying here and there. People die every day in their thousands. I mean, how many people die all over the world every day? Look up the stats. A lot of people die in this country every day for all sorts of reasons, mostly deaths related to negligence in hospitals and at the hands of the pharmaceutical industry. We get all these kinds of deaths happening in nursing homes. For whatever reasons they are, people die. Everybody's going to die, but when you die now, someone passes away now, wherever it may be in this country or any other country, it's all related and blamed on coronavirus. So they're mixing in those cases, absolutely. You know, it's pretty incredible to watch. The fear-mongering is staggering. It's just getting more and more and more intense. And clip that I played before about the stupid idiots fighting about the toilet paper and the woman telling them to calm down, that was the New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian. You can't see the clip, I could put it up, but the guy standing behind her, he was another kind of politician or some health guy, he was actually had a smirk on his face. So this is a very well engineered and orchestrated drill in my book. And who knows what's happening in Italy. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but the crazy thing is, it's like those ships, isn't it? You know, they can just tell 3,500 passengers on a ship that someone had that virus and they're gone now, or they might be still on there, and they lock it all down and they lock you in your rooms and then they play with your minds. It's like the murder on the Orient Express or something, you know. It's like one of those whodunit murders where everybody goes to dinner and someone murdered someone and they have to work out who did it at the table. This is what they do. They play with people's minds and they fuck with their minds. That's how they do it, and they keep everyone in a fear state and treading water. So it's really amazing what they're doing here. So they're just keeping everyone guessing, and what's amazing is to see how many people are panicking and treading over other people and fighting to get things like toilet paper and napkins and hand sanitizer and stuff like that. It's absolutely incredible to see. I was wondering myself, you know, because we've had it so good for so long, I was kind of wondering if something like this were to happen, and this was a while ago, I was thinking to myself, I wonder how people are going to react. Are they going to be calm and respectful, or they're just going to go in and grab? And what they've done is that they've gone in and grabbed, and they've gone in and fighting each other over this stuff. So they've still got running water and electricity at home. If you were walking down the street where I live or around, you wouldn't know there was a coronavirus happening because no one seems to be too concerned. But you're seeing these big shopping centres and malls. I guess this is happening in the western suburbs of Sydney and around big cities, not where I am at the moment. They're panicking and attacking each other already, and it's all fake. So how stupid are they going to feel at the end of this? Because as I've said many times, the coronavirus is the card trick. It's the magic trick that the magician is pulling in front of your eyes, and you're watching his hands and he's moving his hands and you're looking in his eyes. And but what you need to be looking at is what's going on behind your back, not the magician himself. So everyone's so preoccupied with the coronavirus, but they're not looking at all the new legislation and draconian rules and changes that we're getting, especially in regards to health in this country alone, and what we're going to be left with when all this dies away. The vaccination laws in this country are going to be very, very different, I think, drastically different. I think we're going to be looking in this country, in Australia, at much harsher vaccination laws. We got the no jab, no play, no pay sort of things in, which was shocking enough. But what's really devastating is so many of us have done so much work to try and claw our rights back in this country. And I've done so much work trying to put out information in regards to vaccine dangers and safety, and all of this. And, just hoping that everyday general people in the public get that and then make a better decision in regards to vaccinating their children and everything. But, we're just going to lose all that. It's all going to go straight down the toilet, I'm telling you, because at the end of this, they are going to implement very strict laws around vaccinations, and I think it's going to go right through. It will be for adults, and it will be, I think, maybe they'll even go for primary and high school and things like this. It won't be just childcare centres. It'll be all childcare workers. Anyone working with childcare in the childcare industry, will need these shots and these flu shots, and it'll be all like airline staff and to travel in and out of the country, and even domestic, depending on how far they take it. All sorts of certain jobs, depending on what you do for a living, you will need these in your curriculum and resumes and all of this, if that's correct. And as I've said many times, I don't think they're going to come and break down our doors and force vaccinate us. I think that after all of this, things are just going to get more tighter and more harsher and more stricter as we go towards that lockdown situation. And I think that they're going to make our lives just, it's going to be so difficult to live and do everything that we need to do if we're not vaccinated. That's what I'm saying. If you're vaccinated and you're a good Joe Blow, then everything will work out fine. But if you're unvaccinated, it's going to be hard to live your life, and it's going to get harder. And that's just one piece of the puzzle here. There's so many. I mean, we were talking about currency, for example, how they want to take out currency because people are spreading the coronavirus on it. We're talking about crashing of the economies and all these billions of dollars. Where's it all going? It's a money grab as well. We're talking about, restrictions. We're talking about more of a police state coming into play here. We're talking, as I said, more restrictions and more technology coming into our airports for travel, just to do basic day-to-day things. And everything that we need to do is going to be harsher and stricter. There's going to be this more kind of invasive technology coming into play, wherever we go now, as we go more and more into lockdown. And I've always said you could connect all of this. It's like this military, industrial, medical, political, media complex, they're all hand in hand, and these big pharmaceutical companies that make trillions of dollars, they have massive, massive pull all over the world, and they are going to get so much more power after this all dies down, with all of us, with our children, especially with our newborn children, in hospitals. All of this is going to change, as I said, for nurses and doctors and dentists and dentist assistants. And you would have this if you have a look at the health guidelines and health restrictions, when people work with food or around food, in supermarkets, people work in restaurants, people serve sandwiches, people work as baristas and serve coffees, you know, all of this stuff. People work in gyms and people go in there and work out. You're sweating, right? You know what I mean? People teach swimming and work in swimming pool areas. I mean, I could go on all night with all the different jobs where there are health and safety codes and standards. Aren't there? You know, where you get these OH&S. Even people who work in the building industry, they have all these rules and regulations that they've got to follow as well. And you have people, you have bathrooms, you have public transport where people are getting in and out and off things, and people going up elevators and malls, shopping centres, people are touching things. This is all going to come into play as they bring in these new draconian measures and vaccination laws that is going to affect all of us, folks. I'm telling you, absolutely. And your life is going to get harder and harder and harder to live, to the point where we just won't be able to do anything unless we succumb and bow down and do what we're told. And that's what this all is about. It's not about the coronavirus. Forget that. That's the distraction. What it's about is complete, total, absolute, and utter control. And that's what's happening right now. The grip around our throats is just tightening and tightening until we just start turning blue. And that's unfortunately what's happening. It is negative, I know. And what do you do? You just have to find that way to fight to survive, and you have to learn how to navigate this system and get through it as best you can. That's the way that is. But I don't know where they're going with this. They're just saying every time I look in this mainstream media, they're just telling you that it's sweeping through more countries and it's spreading and spreading and spreading. That's the thing. So, very hard to call this, folks. I don't know. I like this new article, which I'll put up soon. It's a brand new one out from John Rappaport's blog about selling fear, the epidemic expert's way in. So, we got it with West Nile, and we got it with SARS, and we got it with swine flu, and we got it with Ebola, and we got it with Zika, and we got it with MERS. We've had it all through history, haven't we? All of this fear-mongering. And I was talking in a last podcast about that, about the HIV commercials in the early 80s in Australia with the Grim Reaper bowling the families and children over in the alleyway. And they had the guy with a really deep voice, and he was saying that more people are going to die in Australia than World War II, and everyone's going to get AIDS. Everyone's going to get HIV, you know. You don't even want to look at someone because they could give you HIV, and it scared the shit out of people. Just go back to that, folks, because it's the same exact thing that's happening now. I'd look at SARS and swine flu and some of them. Are probably the things that match this. I don't think Zika matches this. That was very silly. But I'd say Ebola is a little bit similar to this, but I'd say mostly was the HIV thing back in the 80s and how much they pushed that. And, that was phenomenal. And so unbelievable. And he's saying here, let's all try fear as a lifestyle. So he's talking here about, fear being a lifestyle now. And how about an unproven virus blowing around the world in the wind? It's fantastic feed for the television stations and the media. And he says here the news is a huge deli. Its supreme bologna sellers are cutting extra thick slices for the public about all this. So it's all fear mongering going on and taking place through the media as well. But absolutely no proof that we're dealing with a virus here whatsoever. And I wanted to read this because I think it's really important. And the weird thing is, I was thinking about this the other night. And then I read this article and I was like, That's exactly what I was just thinking and what I was talking about just before on this podcast, how they're mixing all these cases in. So now if some elderly person passes away in a nursing home somewhere in Australia, it's coronavirus or it's a possible suspected case of coronavirus. As I said, I know a guy, he's from Europe. He has he hasn't been well lately, and he went to the medical center because he thinks he's got coronavirus. And I was talking to them, but they couldn't test for it there, so they wanted to send him to the hospital. And he was kind of in panic mode, but he's fine. And I'm wondering, you know, if people are feeling unwell or run down and they think they've got this coronavirus, will their minds or their mental state at that time make them sicker? It's kind of called like pointing the bone. You know, you go to get your results in the doctor's office, you know, and they point the bone at you. Mr. Smith, you've got prostate cancer and you have to get chemotherapy or you're going to die. And, you know, that person was living their lives fine before that. But now they're thinking, I'm going to die. And the mind plays an important role here in driving that whole condition, doesn't it? And maybe making that person sicker. I was also mentioning on the last podcast that we did that, pollution and, things like 5G and wireless technology and all this microwave frequencies and this kind of digital pollution around us all the time and all these devices and this kind of world we live in now, that it's going to change your blood sample. So if you're not feeling well or the doctor looks at your blood, it's going to mess that up and it's going to look abnormal and they're going to want to do more tests. And this is something that really blew me away because I didn't think about it, you know, all this, whether we're using phones a lot and we're exposed to Wi-Fi a lot and all this technology around us all the time. And just driving today, there's another 5G tower going up not far from where I'm living now. You cannot miss it. They're up there working on it, but it's right there. And there's another one, that's the second one around in this area. And it's just infuriating me. And they got all these 5G ads on TV where they're making it out that these stupid idiots who are traveling to work or going around or whatever the hell they're doing, they're going to be able to watch Netflix and YouTube and go on Facebook and chat and send emails and watch porno and, and then search for stuff on another search engine and do about five other things. You're going to be able to do all that quicker. But we've all got to be poisoned by this stuff because of these lunatics. It's absolutely disgusting because these stupid idiots in our society around us want access to all this ridiculous technology. I mean, why the hell would you want to watch, you know, five or six different things or do five or six different things on the phone on your way to work or whatever it is at the same time? And that's how they're selling this. And now I'm just seeing this right today. I'm seeing this massive tower go up right around where I live. Probably a bit too far away to be really worried, but still seeing it there just really makes me angry. I'm kind of waiting for the public to get the pitchforks out and start trying to break these things down because the government are going to do it and the telecom companies aren't going to do it as well. And they're not listening to the people's concerns. They're just going ahead with these things and putting them up. Which is really disgusting behavior. So people may be learning now that the so-called fake government and these big telco companies do not give a stuff about you or your family. And it's time to maybe take matters into your own hands and start damaging all these devices if they start putting around our neighborhoods, you know. Go and break them down, I say. Get the pitchforks out again. And also, you know, people need to learn how powerful you are as a consumer. You know, if you're with a telecommunications company and they're going to switch to 5G or they already have, ring them up and tell them, stuff you, I'm going with someone else, and change your phone over to a new plan or get rid of it altogether. But don't stay with them. Tell them that. You know, don't continually buy into it. And tell everybody you know, give them all the information that you have, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your grandparents, tell people they're associated with, tell everybody that you can the dangers of this 5G technology, and give them all the information that you possibly can. You know, because there they are, those towers are going up right now. I'm looking at them with my own eyes, man, you know. And going back to that, all this new technology that we don't need is going to change our blood work. And that's a really, you know, unbelievable and frightening situation because, yeah, your blood's not going to be normal under tests. And then they're going to make up all sorts of, you know, conditions and do more tests and then tell you you've got this or you've got that and you need to get chemotherapy done, you know, whatever it may be. So, you know, people are being told they've got this, they've got that, you've got this, you've got that, a million and one different things. But do you? Anyway, this article was really good because, you know, it popped up and I was thinking this. They're mixing in all these cases. So it was coronavirus. The definition of cases is producing a new level of illusion. It really took the words out of my mouth and it articulated this in a perfect way. So buckle up. We're not riding on a smooth superhighway anymore. These roads are extremely bumpy. Let me just get this up. Okay, so public health agencies and the press are casting out a blizzard of confusing terms. That's what I was saying before. They are. They really are. I've been watching it every day, and they're just pumping out all these confusing terms. And even I've read today that tourists, British tourists who are in or want to go to Italy are just absolutely confused with all the terms that the health authorities and the Italian government are pumping out. You know, it's really crazy. So presumptive cases, infected persons, asymptomatic persons, confirmed cases, containment measures, persons connected to persons who are infected. It is my understanding that now the CDC is lumping together presumptive cases and confirmed cases and calling them cases. Certainly that strategy would immediately multiply the total number of cases and also multiply fear among the uninformed population. A presumptive case would be a person who has not been tested for the coronavirus, or he has been tested but the results are not in yet. Why is he presumptive? Why is he a presumptive case in the first place? There could be several reasons. He has ordinary like flu symptoms and his doctor suspects he might be infected by the coronavirus for no particular reason. He might have come into contact with a person who has been diagnosed as an epidemic case. He might have recently traveled to China or Italy or wherever it may be and has or doesn't have flu-like symptoms. Maybe he has a slight cough. You can see that presumptive is a quite shaky status. It means next to nothing. Nevertheless, in order to contain the spread of the virus, he is pinned with that label and added to the total of cases. This is what I've been saying here, and this is how shaky or dangerous airports are going to be and must be now, you know, because you go in an airport now and you cough and you're lumped into these total cases, you know. You're guilty because you coughed, and that's what I was saying before. Some woman in Australia was on the news. She coughed on a train and the guy went berserk because he assumed that she could have the coronavirus. And so that's what they're doing, and that's how they manipulate the public as well. So the press, looking for the next piece of clickbait, see that in a particular state or city there are 25 cases. A reporter writes an article, the public is led to sense that in that locale a spread is occurring. No distinction is made between confirmed case and presumptive case. See, they mix it up. It's all smoke and mirrors. You just don't know. Is it confirmed? Suppose in a nursing home where 100 residents have all sorts of long-term health problems, including flu-like symptoms and respiratory difficulties. Two people have been labelled presumptive cases because they were visited by a person who recently returned from China. Now there is an opportunity to label more residents of that nursing home presumptive because they're in daily contact with the two presumptive residents. Result, there are 13 presumptive cases, and when the press discovers this, they characterize the 13 as cases. That's how they do it, folks. It's not real. They just make up whatever they want to, and it's like clickbait. It's fear porn. But it gets a lot worse than that. As I've been detailing in these pages, the basic test for the coronavirus is called the PSR. A positive result is taken to mean the patient has the virus. He is now a confirmed case. However, the PCR has many problems. The procedure itself is tricky, and unless done perfectly with great care to avoid contamination, the result is useless. But even when the test is perfect, it says nothing about whether the patient is still or will ever become ill. Why? Because the PSR never comes to a valid conclusion about how much virus in the patient's body actively replicating. And in order to start talking about illness and disease, millions and millions of virus must be at work replicating inside the patient. Going even further down the rabbit hole, how was the PSR test for the coronavirus developed in the first place? We seem to have an answer from the CDC, of course we do, folks, offered up to reporters in a February 28 press briefing. A Dr. Mess O'Neill, representing the CDC, said in a reply to a question, "Please remember that our laboratories developed this PCR test kit before there were US cases. We developed it based on the posted genetic sequencing, and it was this test kit that allowed us to identify the first case in the United States." What does this mean? It seems to mean that the CDC accepted the genetic sequence of the new virus without having an actual isolated specimen of the virus itself. That's a problem. If the police receive a description of a car wreck on a local highway, the sequence, should they travel to the scene and actually look at the wreck, obtain an isolated specimen of the virus, should they decide who was at fault, diagnose the first US cases without investigating having the actual virus itself in their possession. Researchers claiming they've laid out the genetic sequence of a virus and passing the information along to colleagues is not what you would call proof of anything. Those original researchers could have sequenced another virus. They could have made mistakes. Did they ever have an isolated specimen of the virus? That's what I'm asking here as well. You know, what is this virus? And they're telling us that all on the news that people are being confirmed cases of the coronavirus, and I'm just shaking my head, you know. I just don't buy any of it at all. So developing and using a diagnostic PCR test on humans and then telling them whether they are victims of the epidemic based on received genetic sequences alone is more than irresponsible. It's entirely reckless. If you've come this far in this article and you're beginning to feel that the whole system is of diagnosing people with the virus is madness, I would agree with you. Categories of cases are being deceptively juggled and merged in order to inflate the numbers. The gold standard diagnostic test is fraught with difficulties and is basically useless. And lurking behind all this is the big question: who discovered the coronavirus in the first place, and did they ever have an actual specimen of it? A biological reality, or working from indirect markers? Were they the presumptives, blithely assuming their genetic sequences pointed to an entity that actually exists? So if you think a fraud on this level has never occurred before, you can read other articles about swine flu epidemic and consider the potential implications. So I've put that up on the website, and I wanted to go through that because that's exactly what I was thinking, and I just thought it was just so well articulated and said. That's what they're doing here. You know, the media are just going around the country, and as I said before, there's all these hundreds and hundreds of deaths every year related to the flu, you know, the so-called flu and all of this. But this year there's even less than that, but they're making this incredible drama about it, and it's enough to start locking down cities, it seems. You know, I'm not seeing any truth in this, so we just have to keep following it and covering it and looking at it. I'm still kind of sitting here thinking, are they going to go all the way with this, and what should we do to prepare ourselves, because it's just absolutely insane. And, you know, I don't believe in anything that they're saying. I don't believe that any of these cases are confirmed. And I think it's just like that article I just read. They're just mixing any death that we have in this country, or anyone who's got anything that's related to any kind of flu or flu symptoms in this country. They're just merging it now without any evidence and lumping it into that coronavirus kind of pack. And then the media, they come on top of that and they spread it. It's unbelievable what the media can do, folks. You know, as I said before, you could have some old gentleman who's 93 years old at some nursing home somewhere in Australia that's passed away, and he had flu-like symptoms, and the media jump on it. They get the guy up there, and you know, they got all the slickness and head movements, and they got all the they cross to the reporters, and they've just got everything that they need to blow it all up and make it seem real to you, the viewer. So we're being led down the garden path here big time. And I think that before I go, I'll just say again that the coronavirus is just the card trick. Do not focus on the card trick. Look at what's happening behind our backs and how our lives are going to be affected and how they are going to change, you know, in the coming months and into next year, for example, and what type of countries we're going to be living in after all of this dies down as well. And, you know, medically what we're going to be looking at, and for our children as well, our schooling and just our day-to-day lives and being able to work and live our lives, how that's all going to be changed, and the forced or encroaching, you know, medical interference that we're going to be seeing in all of our lives. It's a real worry, because I just want to be left the hell alone. I want these people out of my life. You know, I'm in charge of my life. I don't want them in my life, and I don't want their shit. But it's getting to the point where they're forcing this now, and it's all being clearly run through the United Nations as well, which is like a front for the big money masters. So a lot of money behind all of this as well, you know, and so we just keep watching this and see where it's going, and keep continuing to chat about it. Hope you've enjoyed it. Take care. Please, for the members, if you have any links or any, you know, any articles or any information you want to share, just put it in the chat room, or attach it to this podcast after I put it up.
but should go up in about 10 minutes anyway. Thanks a lot. Chat soon.